So at this time, and again, as I think I said, I told some of the Sunday school classes, some of you have met Patrick when he was with us before. Many of you have not. So this is an opportunity to hear about the work that we are privileged to be able to work with Patrick, not just through our giving through the Alliance, but through our relationship with Patrick and Carol. And that is such a blessing. We have not, this is our first chance to meet Mia. So Mia, it is great to have you with us. Thank you for coming down. And so Patrick is going to come and share with us this morning. I encourage you to plug in and see the work that's going on. I got to look at one thing. I told Patrick he could have as long as he wanted. So,
be careful.
I didn't get a lot of amens on that. Did you? Yeah, thank you. I couldn't help. We were singing Psalm 138, and the way that was worded in one of those stanzas just struck me. May all the kings of earth praise you, Lord, when they hear your word so true. May they sing of the ways of God, the Lord's great glory known abroad. And I just thought, what a great lead-in that is to whether we're praying for Paraguay or we're hearing from Patrick. Our God is not a God of the United States only. Now, the message of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ must go. And so we are blessed and thankful to be part of what you guys are doing, and I'm anxious to hear from you. So again, after the service, I would encourage you, if you're not able to stay for lunch, to try to engage with Patrick and Mia, learn some more about them. If they don't have your email address, they're great about sending updates so that you can pray for them and you can know what's going on in their ministry. So I would encourage you to catch up with them for a few minutes before you leave. All right, brother, if you would.
All right. Thank you. Good. I'm glad Mia is way back there, so she will not be. Last week we were somewhere, and the pastor said, Patrick, you can speak as long as you can. I said, okay, I have three messages. I'm going to preach all of it. So I'll be mindful of time. It's good to be here again. Again, sorry my wife couldn't be here this time. She really wanted to come this time around, but her father is sick, and so she has to be in Alabama this time, so she couldn't come. So pull Mia with me. Come and represent her. It's amazing how you introduced today. Everywhere I go, I say, God, what should I share? We've been away for 4 years. We've been there for 15 years of work. Which one should I share? What do you want people to hear? Anyway, so I put some things together. And the last time I was here, I showed a video. So everywhere I go, I try to show that video, just to bring those who've forgotten. Some probably will still remember. This is the first part of it. So that it keep our mind on a big picture of what is going on. So like Pastor said, the world is not just here. It's bigger than we think. And so I always play that video to bring our mind to the big picture and say, hey, yes, we are already working. I know you're praying and supporting, but that brings it alive. So if you can... Hopefully it will play. Yes. Put the cursor on it and it should play. Uh-oh. It won't play. I'm done finish that. If you put a cursor on it, it should play. Put it on the bottom. Yeah. Play. There you go.
Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that our mission is to go and
Yes, so that is the big picture. That's the big picture, and that's what the task is. See, so if you are in Philippi here, probably you have probably about more than four churches here, right? Coming down, I saw a church now, and just this small place already have a lot of churches. Yeah, but there are a lot of people out there that still don't have in church. Thank God Alliance is doing a lot. Before, even we work with Alliance, and we used to be with the marketplace. We raise our support. We still raise our support. But now, Alliance have seen that we have been reaching the unreached. That's where mostly MM workers, marketplace workers are. And so even if you support Marketplace now, they count that for you as GCM funds, which is really good. You're moving towards that. That's good. In the past, even when you support, they still don't tick that box for you. So now it's good. So the work is out there. God is calling us to God. But don't be too excited to say, hey, I want to go. Because of those numbers. That's what we did. And God is teaching us. So today I'll be telling you what God has been teaching us. We saw those numbers and we'd run before hearing the message. Okay? And so it's good to be led by passion, but it's also good to hear the voice of God and do. Jesus is never moved by needs. He's only moved by what the Father wants him to do. So we'll be talking to you about, share a little bit about what God has been teaching us over these years. I'll show you some pictures. But before that, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. Yes, you said the field is white and it's ready, but the laborers are few. So pray for the Lord of labor to send more laborers. So Lord, we're praying that you yourself will send laborers. You send workers because you are already working on the field and you want partners to come and join you. And so Lord, we pray that we want to be obedient. We want to come and work with you because you're already there working. And so, Lord, thank you for this morning. And I pray that, Lord, what you have for me to share, to encourage, and what you're doing out there, I pray that you just anoint my lips and give me clarity. Remove all confusion and let your spirit just guide and prepare hearts. Lord, speak to us, encourage us, rebuke us, and teach us this through those pictures and through what you're doing. But I just thank you. Let your Holy Spirit come and take absolute control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go. So, well, some of you already know where we are. Some don't. So we work in a one of those 2 billion people, it's a small portion of it. So where we are is an Islamic republic. You don't, they wouldn't give you a visa to go there. So you have to go and then do some kind of thing, some kind of project to be able to get access into the country. Okay? So you have 99.8% are Muslim. Okay? Poverty, 1% are very wealthy, the rest are poor. It's the last country to abolish slavery. 150,000 are still in slavery now. No official Protestant place of worship. Well, praise God, we just got one. We just got the first Protestant church, which is an international church. We just received what we call, a de facto authorization from the government. And so they say you can have it, but you don't have the paperwork yet. But last week, Thursday, the ambassador has been working closely with us, and they went to see one of the government officials. I'm still waiting to hear back what the result is, so that we are still waiting for that paperwork. So God is good. Amen. God is answering your prayers. Yeah, so this we teach English. And to do that, we teach English one-on-one to be able to engage conversation with people. So that's what we do over there. So we've been doing that ever since. So God is good. So what you see there now, when we went 99.8%, that's a house church that we have there. Yeah. So all those people were all believers that the Lord brought as we've been over there. So that's our house church over there. Praise the Lord. And the exciting thing is 15 years back, the boy in the Phillies baseball. Too fast. Go back. Yeah. The picture before that. No, you're going. Oh. Okay. The last two.
My mouse is unresponsive.
Oh, okay. It's your mouse. Okay. That was the picture of the young boy over there. He was just a young kid. Her mom accepted the Lord and brought him, and now he's 21 year old. He just finished high school, and we just sent him to work with the other brother over there. So, like a first person that we sent to go and reach his own people. Isn't that amazing? You never thought about that 15 years ago. And so God is doing. So he's there for 6 months to see how he will fare. And so thank God for that. We are very glad about that. And then the picture before that was another lady who accepted the Lord. I wish that the young man you saw in the picture, he was our taxi driver when we went in 2006. He accepted the Lord, but he up till now, he's not doing very well following the Lord as we wanted him to. His father, he brought his father, his wife. We share with them. None of them accept the Lord, and all of them pass away, unfortunately, without knowing the Lord. And so he married another lady. So the lady you saw was a new lady. He married about, I think, about 6 years ago. She has been watching a video, I mean, television, and in the show she's been watching was a church service in one of the countries where they do this miracle healing. So she became so excited and said, "I want to go there and then and watch that those church." And so her husband, who's not serious, says, "Don't worry, you don't need to go. I know a brother here who could pray for you." So if you want. So he brought her, and then we prayed with her, and she accepted the Lord. And the interesting thing about her is she, whether it's because she's been watching the miracle, that's why she's been tuned to that or not, she has a gift of miracle, of healing. People get sick, and she will heal for them, and they'll get well. One of her daughters had constipation for a week. They went, sent her to the hospital. The doctors couldn't do anything. They gave her all the laxatives. Nothing worked. She came home. She said, "I'm going to pray for you." She just put her hand on it, prayed for her. She went. She went. And she's prayed for her her own mother who had hypertension, and the level dropped. So she has seen a lot, not just one miracle. She's seen several miracles that God has used her to do. She's okay.
So where are we?
Where are we? Okay.
Go back.
Let's see. Okay, this was the lady I was talking about. Okay. Okay, now go next. The guy was the one who was still not very serious, but his wife is now. Next. Okay. This brother is called Cornelius. Cornelius, we've been praying for since 2013. We've been praying that God will give us Cornelius. So I had created a piece of paper. And anytime I say, "God, give us Cornelius," I'll mark it. So we'll be marking it. So we pray about, I think, about 1,227 times. So, same prayer. And then it was, I put that paper away somewhere. I said, "So God, you have to answer." So I put the paper. 3 years later, I was looking through, and then, well, I met this brother. Actually, he was helping some local people. I was like, "Wow, I've seen that you're doing very good work, but there's one more thing you need. You need Yeshua." Okay, let's talk about that. So we went. He said we arranged and had coffee. We had a coffee. We talked, and then conversation continued. 2 years later, he accepted the Lord. I said, "Well, because of you, probably is the Cornelius I've been praying for, because he loves God, he loves people, except the next thing was to accept Jesus, and that's what happened. And interestingly, a friend from another country came that didn't know about the story. When he met him, he called him Cornelius. He says, Cornelius, that's your name. It's like, yeah, that's the name we gave him. That's what God did. And Cornelius is now translating. So he's translating one of, we have a material that was written into a language called King of Glory, about the whole story, one story book. So he translated it now into their language. And that's what we're doing over there. Continue to pray for him. Sometimes, you know, when you are working in a place like that, you want to make a missionary of everybody you meet. Whether, like, you come to the church here, everybody here, you want him to be a pastor. But it's not everybody who's a pastor. But that's what we do. We see any believer, and then we want to make that person already a pastor or a missionary. Pray for him. He's very influential, and we want God to use him. His name is Cornelius. Okay, he's not translating. Next. So, this is an international church that we have. That's a children's day. I mean, I just got this picture sent to me about just when I was here. This is they have Children's Day, May 28th. And those are the children in the international church. Go to the next. And this is the training session of the international church. You said the last time I came here, you remember, I was looking at your chairs. I was like, I was covered in. I was saying, I wish I got this. God provided. So we got almost like that. So ours is red. God provided those chairs. And so that's the training session for all the workers in the country. And then this is the training session for the international church. That's there. So we are, it's about 250 members over there. So this is where we are having the de facto praying that God will, we get that written authorization. That will be the first in the country. Okay. Next. Okay. So, okay, that's the elder board. The two people here, these are the ambassador that has been helping us to get that authorization. In fact, in February, he met with the Minister of Interior, and the minister promised that he would get the written document the following day. But he was supposed to leave on Monday, and on Tuesday, we still don't have the paperwork. But he's been very, very forceful in trying to help us get that. So, next slide. That's us. That's my wife. We want to give him a gift because of all the help he's given us to acquire that authorization in the country. So you see, God has, it's a favor that the Lord has shown us in the country and all through your prayers, raising people from higher place who could be in front of us to get what we need to be able to be in the country and get that access. So it's the embassy doesn't have to do that, but they have taken that as part of things to do. So praise the Lord for what they're doing. He's no more there. There's a new ambassador that I have not met. She just got there in April and we left. So I haven't met her yet. Hopefully she would. She will be nice as now the other one. Anyway, so that's what God has been doing. But what has God been teaching us throughout this time? What have we learned? That's the most interesting part. Because, like I said, the first picture I showed you, if you don't take it, you see that picture, it's like, wow, God, get me some place now. Get me some bag. I want to go to witness to those 2 million. I'm going to kill my ox and then sell it and then follow Elijah. Okay? But God is teaching us a new thing, and how He wants us to spend time with Him. And as I hear Pastor talk about prayer and then worship, that's the direction God is leading us now. God wants us to spend time with Him. God wants us to get to know Him more. God wants us to get closer to Him. God doesn't want us to be led by need. God wants us to be closer. If God wants us more so than He wants us to do things for Him. Sometimes we run, just want to do things for God. But God wants us more than that. And so, the new era, what has He been teaching us? Look at what Wesley Duell, he says, if you rely on training, you accomplish what training can do. If you rely on skills and hard work, you obtain the results that skills and hard work can do. And when you rely on committees, you accomplish what committees can do. But when you rely on God and spend time with God, you get what God can do. Sometimes we rely on skills, training, and stuff. But when we spend time with God, God is already working. Then we get what God can do, not what our committees, our training, our skills. This is what God is teaching us. Because remember, when we went, we thought, how could I go into this place? I have to have a skill. I have to have this, all these things. We got all our toolbox full. And once we get there, okay, we got everything. What about me? What about God? Okay. Remember Acts chapter 2. Peter spent time with the Lord. Peter and then the 12 disciples, 72. They spent time in what? In the upper room. They fasted for 50 days, I guess. And then when they went out, when they spoke, what happened? People were cut to the heart. And I always contrast that even with Jesus. Jesus himself told us that when he goes, he will send us somebody. We need him. He'll be in us. He will teach us things we don't know. And in fact, he said it's better for him to go so that he will send him to us. And so Jesus preached to 5,000 people. In fact, he fed them. But we didn't hear that the church was formed out of Jesus feeding them. Mm-mm. The church was formed after those people waited on God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then Peter went out to speak. What happened? People were cut to heart because the Spirit that Jesus promised came. And they were cut to heart. And then 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. Immediately, the church started. So this is what God is teaching us. He said, Patrick, don't go feed people. They need food, yes. They need help. But spend time with me. Know my heart. And when I speak to you, then you can go tell them. Fill with the Spirit. Somebody say, load. And then fire. Load from His presence and then fire. So that's what God is teaching us. And so, sometimes we want to do things the world's way. The world have marketing strategies. And unfortunately, the church today wants to use marketing strategy. We want to give them food. We want to give them stuff so that they can come. Good? But those marketing strategies is just the world. You see the story? There's a story in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. You remember? David, one thing you know about David was that everything David would do what? Would inquire from the Lord. He would inquire from the Lord. So he even in, if you read that, and we don't have time, so I will not read, but I encourage you to read 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Oh, it's on it. It's the PowerPoint. You can show it. There. Good. Yes. So David inquired of the Lord to fight. And then in the second fight, even each time, God will show him how to go, how to fight. In this particular instance, when David, after he's won this battle, David went wanted to bring the Ark of Covenant into the tabernacle that he's built. What did David do? David asked the people, they put the Ark of the Covenant on what? On an ox. They put it on an ox. And then as they were coming, the ox hit something and the ark wanted to fall. So Uzzah wanted to hold it. What happened? He died immediately. God struck him. He says, "You dishonor me." But see, where did David learn from? Learn that from? David learned that strategy from the Philistines. When the Philistines captured the ark and they took it, and they got sick, and then they finally said, "No, we can't do this anymore." They put the ark on the tabernacle on what? On an ox and push it. You see, that was their technology on us and carry it and push it. So David wanted to do the same thing. You see, the church, we don't take care. We want to follow the world. The world didn't know better. David should have known better. In Numbers chapter 4, God stated exactly how to carry the what? What about his name? He began to prosper. So David said, "Oh, let's go take it." But David learned a lesson. This time, David selected the priest, and then they took the priest, and they did what? They carried it on the shoulder, and then they brought the ark. The church, God shows us how we can build a church. God showed us how we can bring people. God didn't ask us to use marketing strategies, and that's what we've been doing. God showed us how to carry the ark on a shoulder. It means to build a church, sometimes you have to fast. You have to tithe. You have to wait. And be filled, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I'm going to bring this thing. You see, we don't put the ark on the ark of the covenant on an ox. So that's what God is teaching us. Patrick, don't just teach English. You need to spend time in my presence. So this is what the next slide. The next slide. One of my, an MBB believer in a country, one of the countries said, he says, I'll read it from him. He says, "If you want to crack a rock, you must know where to strike. Otherwise, you will strike wrong places. For ministry is like a stone. Our Lord has taught us how to break the stone. You can't strike anyhow. You'll be tired. Strike where the soul of the rock is, where there is a crack, and slowly it will break. If you don't know how to break the rock, you'll work without results." This is an unbeliever, a Muslim background believer says that from Algeria. You see? So God has taught us how to break a rock. God has taught us how to do ministry. Look for the soul of the rock, where there is a crack in the rock, and hit from there. Spend time in the presence of the Lord and hit from there, and then you get people. That's what God is telling us. Patrick, I need you to spend time in my presence. I need you to spend time so that when you and I become one. You know where my heart is. You know where I'm working. Then I will guide you in that direction. So this is what God has been teaching us and in his next way. So God, Jesus Christ, is working. And he is showing us how how to do his work. So how is he doing that? Through prayer and worship. Through prayer and worship. Go to the next slide, please. So when I guys were talking about prayer and worship here, I was like, yes, it's just amazing how God does things. You see, when he's speaking to us, he connects it. He connects, he has the same voice going everywhere and preparing his people. I know God is going to bring revival because everywhere I go, God is saying the same message. He said, prayer and worship, prayer and worship. Revive my people, revive my people. So that's what God is doing. So next slide. So God is teaching us to worship. Why we worship? God delight in worship. God wants us to worship him. You know what? One gift I want to covet. Anytime I come here, I see something that I want. Either it's a chair or a hymn. So if you lose one of your hymnaries, just come and look for it in my car. I just want to learn to worship God. Worship, God delight in worship. See, when God called the people of Israel, what did he say? He said, let my people go so that they will do what? They might worship. He said more than 8 times in the same chapter. God enthrones the praise of his people. When we worship God, God comes down. The Japanese says, the translation says that when you worship God, God comes, bring his big chair and sit down. Remember when Silas and Paul, when they were in prison, instead of complaining, they were worshiping. What happened? Jail broke down. Worship brings God down. So this is the new phase we want to do. We have a prayer house, and when we go, a new step, you're going to have 4 hours every day in a house of prayer every day, worshiping and praising him. And we want to do that in all 4 countries in North Africa. Worship. And so we are praying for God to send worshipers. Worshipers. I'm not talking about performers. Worshipers. People who can just read Psalms. You just come and read Psalms. You're worshiping. That's what it is. You don't have to have David's voice. Look, I can't sing. If I want to sing, now everybody will leave here. But I'm not singing to you. I'm singing to who? To God. But if I want to sing now, you probably will leave. Because you wouldn't like my voice. But guess what? God would like it. Because of the voice he gave me. And he said, use your voice to worship me. So that's what I'm going to use to worship him. I'm not talking about performance. I'm talking about those who just come and worship God. Those who just come and pray in the desert. In fact, we are there because there are no worshipers. We're there because there are no worshipers. So we are praying that God will send people to come and be in the prayer house and just worship. You don't have to go outside. And so if you're ready, see Pastor. Write your name. Let me know. I'll ask for that list, Pastor. So worship enlists God in our battle. Second Chronicles chapter 20. You remember? Jehoshaphat, they fight. They sung a song, and they won a battle against the Amorites, the Moabites. Okay? You check those. Worship enlarges God and decreases our challenges. You see, when we worship God, God becomes big. God is already big. But most of the time, God is small compared to our problem. But when we worship him, then the size of God becomes real to us in worship. And that's what David will always worship. Most people will complain, but David will always worship. That's the difference between David and many other people. Worship encounters God. When we worship God, be still and know that I'm God. I saw it this morning. You see? Worship encounter. When we worship, we encounter God. That's what we want to do on the field. For the church to grow, we members have to encounter God. Worship enjoys God. When we worship God, depression, anxiety, all those, God takes it away. Worship exalts God. over our problems. That's where we want to go. This is what God is teaching us. This is what God is leading us. That's the next phase we're going to do. Next. This guy here, I didn't talk about him. He's the director of the orphanage we have over there. He made his own worship song. And he came to my office and he was listening, singing it. And he took his suggestion off and just worshiped me in the land. I was just so excited. He accepted the Lord after we prayed for his sister, who is the director of the nurse. And he's just worshiping. This is what we want to see happen on the field. Because worship breaks the backbone of the enemy. And in fact, we believe that for Muslims to accept the Lord, that's one of the worship is going to be the tool that we're going to use. Yes, next slide, please. Okay, good. She hasn't said anything yet, so I haven't seen anybody sleeping yet. If you sleep... Okay, I haven't seen anybody sleeping yet. Oh, do you have any question first before I move to the lessons of the temple? Usually, do you have any temple about any question about, or we should do that when we at lunch? Okay, good. Okay.
What time of the year did I get my business?
Yes.
You didn't miss it.
We generally, again, because of the strategic nature of the place. And then if they know that we are missionaries, they'll not let us in there. So we go in not as missionaries. We are workers. Yes. And so if one day you say, hey, we have a missionary in X, then we'll be looking for that. And so we normally, when we go out, we don't say, we just say generally North Africa. Amen. So... lessons from the temple. See, what do we learn from the temple? You see, we have to go back to the Old Testament and see what, how those things reflect in the New Testament. And some of the things that are happening now in the church, if we have to go back to the Old Testament and see. So you look at Solomon invested a lot in the building of the temple. And when he finished, he used a lot of gold, okay? It was a magnificent wonder of art, right? The temple. I didn't want to agree. The temple represented what? The identity of the Jews. It was so important. The temple is very important to the Jews. And David wanted to build, but God said, no, you won't. You shed too much blood. And when Solomon finished, God's presence came into the temple. God accepted the temple, and his presence came. This is very important. Let's see the next slide. You see, now, if you go to Israel, what do you see? That's what you see. In the past, this is what you see. The temple is what you see. Now, if you're a Jew, you probably, inside you, you should just be angry. Your identity has been profaned. But that's not my point. The point is that we're talking about the past, how important the temple is in the life. But today is not. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. But after the temple was built, God came and he told Solomon something. He says, if you obey, my presence will continue to be here. I said, I have chosen this place and consecrated it. My eyes and my ears will be there forever. On condition that what you don't go off to worship other gods. He says, if they continue to worship him, he will be there. His presence will be there. But if you turn away and worship other gods, God would uproot you and reject this temple. Okay? Huh. He said, what he has consecrated will become a byword. Look at him. This is what he said. Become a byword. An object of ridicule among all people. The church today, that's what people want you to mention the church. We are ridicule. He said, do you still believe in that? Okay. The temple will become a heap of rubble. That's what he said. Your identity. That was what the identity was, was at the time. Passers-by will be appalled, and they will ask, why has this happened to the church? Because they have had forsaken the Lord and gone off to worship other gods. He says, if they go off to worship other gods, this would happen. God would be appalled with what? With a temple. Let's go to the next slide. Yes. What did God say? See, guys, what is a parable to us? He says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So God is telling us that we, the church, we, the body, God is telling us that our body is his temple. Just as the temple used to be the identity of the Jews, today our identity, our body is a temple of God. And the Holy Spirit is in us. So the presence of God came. But what was it bought with? Gold? This temple, the temple built not with gold, but with what? The blood of Jesus. Your temple, my temple, is not built with what? The blood of Jesus. And what are we using the temple for? But it's just saying, is Jesus' temple, I mean, is the house of the Holy Spirit, is it consecrated? Is it consecrated or what? Is your body consecrated? Is your body set apart? Is my body set apart? Just these are the things God is teaching me on the field. I said, God, your body is a temple. Wherever you go, your presence, when my presence is there, you draw people. When the presence of God is, I'll draw people. I don't have to work for it. Because I have the presence of God. Okay. But what are we using it for? In fact, if you read 1 Peter 4, 3-5, it says people are even appalled. People are surprised that we do not do things that they used to do. They drink. They live in any kind of life that doesn't please God. And they are surprised that we do not do that, we don't live that anymore. But the question is, are they truly surprised with us? Do we live like that? We can read that one. Let's read it. 1 Peter. First Peter 4. First Peter, as it says, I'll read from 3. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, lawless idolatry. With respect of this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery. That's what the world used to do. But see, they are surprised that you do not join them. But the question is, do we do that? Do we join them? Can they say, is there a difference between us and the world? The church? Is there any difference between us and the world? Okay. In Romans 2:24, it says, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Because of us, some of the reason why we are not attracting people is because God's name is blasphemed. People do not glorify God. When they see us, is this person a believer? God's name is blasphemed because of us. So when we go out there, We are not attracting people. We want God to do something in us. And the only way he could do that is when we spend time with him. John Wesley says that, I burn myself so that people, when people see the fire, they come to the fire. And that starts by spending time with God. And that's what we want to do. The temple does not have the presence of God anymore. The world looks at us and they scorn and ridicule us. They took what happened to Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they were speaking, when Peter and John were in front of the Sanhedrin, they asked and they showed that they were very bold. And they knew that these are unlearned people. But where do they get that boldness from? But they took note. They said they have been with Jesus Christ. That was the difference. They were bold. They showed difference in what they were doing because they had been with Jesus. Are we with Jesus? Patrick, are you spending time with Jesus? If I spend time with Jesus, the world will take notice. When I spend time with Jesus, the world will take notice. When we come face to face, the world will see that, you are different. Patrick, you are different. And this is what the new thing God is teaching us to go with. And now we're just sharing what God is teaching us in this new phase. Remember, when I went to the field, I heard that story, the first story. I was filled with passion. I said, okay, I need Bible school. I need a business degree. And I got my toolbox filled. And so we set up a company. Do you know the name of the company? PC Vision, Patrick and Carol Vision. You see, it was all about what we can do. It was all about passion. Patrick and Carol Vision. So the school we set up was the Patrick and Carol Vision. God said, yeah, it's not about you. It's all about me. So after 14 years, this is what God is teaching us. He said, ministry is not about you. It's about God. It's about God. You cannot bring people in here. Well, you can market and bring them in here, but they will not stay. They will not attract anything. They will not bring the presence of God. But if we prayed and wait on God and stand in the presence of God and they come, they will be on fire because they will all be fire burning. They all have the presence of God. And that is what we show. I'm getting towards the end. Good. She hasn't surrendered yet. Okay. So our prayer is, God, revive us. We want God to revive us on the field. Revive us again. May the Lord revive the church again. May the Lord revive we the workers on the field again. May the fire of God begin to burn. May the Lord raise the Josiah. The Josiah. You know what Josiah did? When his idol in the church, in the temple, he went in and destroyed, broke the Asherah poles, destroyed them, broke all of them. Today, we have, the world has crept into the church. The world has crept into the church in the form of what? Entertainment. We worship entertainment more than worship God. God says, in fact, I've been reading the Kings lately. Some of the kings did horrible stuff. But what God hates is anything that takes his place. Any idol. I mean, they would do any bad thing, but look at David. God says David is a man after his heart upon all that he did, because David's heart was always with God. Today, the world, entertainment, movies, sometimes, it's just time for game. You see, those things have taken place of God in our life. Some of us, it's work. Computer. These things have taken the first place. So it's no more Asherah Poles or Molech, but it is entertainment, movies, the world, Insanity, tolerance of evil, compromise, gluttony, idleness. These are the things that we do today. We don't have Asherah poles that has built idols and gold. These are the idols in our life now. Even with missionaries on the field. If anything that has taken the place of God is an idol. It's an idol. You're worshiping. Molech, child sacrifice. Molech, that's what it is. Molech. Today, Christians don't see that abortion or killing babies are wrong. Well, that's Molech for you. That's what happened. Yes, okay, I'm almost there. That's the last slide. Child sacrifice. That's what abortion is. That's Molech. God was against that. If you're a Christian and you accept that, you think there's nothing wrong with that, go back and read the Bible. We are supposed to be called out, consecrated, royal priesthood, called to declare the praise of him who's called out of darkness, not to be like them. We want to be like the world. No, God called us out. So the only way Patrick can be effective on the field is that I will be persecuted because I cannot go along with the people. If I want to be like the Muslims, I'll be like them. No, I have to be different. And I will be persecuted for that. I should be. So when I tell some of my believers, I tell you, you'll be persecuted because you are not a Muslim. You would be. Don't come and tell me that I am being. You have to know that before you accepted Christ. That's what God is calling us. So God has to revive us. And what I'm telling you now is Paul says it. It's not anything that you do not know. You already know it. You already know it. Okay? Your pastor has already told you, but this is what God is teaching us on the field. And we just want to encourage you with that. It's because God is helping us. Say, Patrick, for you to be useful, this is what I need from you. And this is what God has been teaching us. And you already know that. That's what Paul says in John and Romans 15, 14. It says, I know you already know that. You've heard that. But I've been given this ministry. It's upon me to reveal that to you. Not that you don't know it. You already know it. Amen. Amen. And so, I don't know what you've taken out of this, but if you're here, I said, God, I need you to revive me. I need you to point me. I want to be that temple, your house that brought the presence of God, so that I can carry with me your presence wherever I am. So that people will not ridicule. I will not be like a byword just because I'm a Christian. I should carry your presence everywhere I am. And that's what your temple is supposed to be. And that's what we are. Peter and John, they were people because they took notice. It's just these people have been with Christ and they were different. They came with courage. And they were not intimidated by the world. You want that? Let's us all pray. And God will ignite that fire because God is going to revive us. God is going to revive the church. You don't want to be left alone. I want that revival. I want that revival. And that's why it's been my message. I said, God, I want to spend time with you. No more. I want to spend more time with you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I'm going to tighten my belt when I have to be closer to you. Because Jesus said some of these things will not happen without fasting and prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this body that loves you so much. Father, we come before you. We want you to revive us again. We want you to ignite that fire, that first love in us. We want to walk with you. Because you're already working. And we want, it's not our ministry, it's your ministry. But humble us, bring us to a point where we would seek to be in your presence. Seek to walk with you. If there's anyone here, Lord, that hurts, is yearning, Lord, I pray that would you just draw him closer to you. Father, we just thank you this morning. We bless you because you visited us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to change it up a little bit. Grab a hymnal. And we're going to turn to 348. I'll give you a couple minutes to get there, and then I'm going to walk you through it because the way they typed it up was kind of weird. Okay, so we're going to do verses 1 and 2. And then if you look at the second page, they type the chorus up twice. It's just the first two lines. So we're going to do verse 1 and 2. And then we're going to go to the second page and do just those top two lines. And then we'll do verse 3, and then the chorus, and verse 4, and then the chorus. I don't know why they type the chorus up twice. Do you want another hymn? 348.
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the song.
I was reminded, some of you know John Piper, who's somewhat famous and has a passion for missions. His one of the sayings that I've heard from him is, missions exist because worship doesn't. I think that is applicable. So, Mark, if you want to join me again, if you want to know more about following Christ, if you would like prayer, then by all means, Mark and I will be up here for a few minutes. And I encourage you again to catch up with Patrick and Mia if you're not staying for lunch, to ask any questions or find out more about them. Those of you that have pledged for the action packs, the papers are right up here for you to grab. So, our benediction comes from Romans 15.